Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Thank you for another year of supporting Goddess Hangs.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 107.
Woo! Woo! We're back. We're remote. We have a new platform. We're excited.
Oh my God. And so is our studio audience. They are thrilled.
Okay. Okay, everyone. Okay. Let's get the show started. Everyone, thank you. Take your seats. Take your seats.
We found this new thing that has all sorts of little sound effects. So be prepared for us to overuse them today.
I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet, obviously.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Living magically. Somebody just had a heart attack.
Okay, we'll find appropriate uses for these sound effects, but it's way too fun and we're just going to be using them at random throughout this episode and we're going to have fun.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
So, let's see. It's Monday when this comes out. It's the day after Christmas, so our minds are all turning to the next big event, New Year's. New year, new me. So Juliet and I put together some of our best tips, our best practices for a successful new, fresh start in the new year. But before we dive into that, Juliet, what's new with you?
All of this.
Just a little.
Victor and I spent last night putting up this beautiful pink curtain and setting up webcams and microphones and lighting. It's been like a transition for sure over here. And I also wrapped presents. I put presents under the tree last night. Oh, and this is also new. Sweetie girl, my little rescue budgie, lets me scratch her now and give her pets and love.
Oh, that's a big development.
I know.
Oh, go sweetie girl.
I know she's getting braver. I say, every day you are getting braver. Every day you are getting sweeter. I could make a whole album of music for my bird. So preparing for Christmas and setting up this new remote situation and hooking up printers, just bringing the office home, really.
Yeah.
I would say that's the biggest thing that's new with me. I'm really trying to think what I did in the past week other than that. And I know you had a much more eventful past week. While I ponder on if I have forgotten anything super important, tell me, how are you doing? Sadie, you are now home in the small town, your hometown in Wisconsin. It is negative 20 degrees.
Yes, it is.
How is it?
It's cold. It's cold. Today was the first day I left the house since I got here 4 days ago. Oh, we're all laughing together. We're having a good time. You guys.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I did a really good job packing. I packed like two huge suitcases and my carry-on suitcase and a backpack. Like that's everything I brought with me, everything else is in storage. I can visually see when I packed my deodorant, but I could not find it. And it's been too cold to leave the house. So I've just been stinking up my house the past few days, but I finally braved the cold today. I had enough of showering and smelling bad 2 hours later. And I picked the coldest day so far. It's negative 6 with wind chill. It's negative 20. I got my car and I was just like making this face like, like, why do people live here?
No.
I can't believe I lived here for 24 years before I moved to California, or 25. Yeah, 25 years. I don't remember. 25 years. Moved here on my 25th birthday, or there. Here. I'm in Wisconsin. I'm all out of sorts, honestly. But I did make some notes of things I wanted to mention that were magical.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So the first thing is that I feel like I cast a spell at the airport that really worked, because ooh. Okay, so it's like Christmas week, right? So the airport's crazy. I have two gigantic bags I need to check. So I'm standing in the outside line to drop off my bags. They're prepaid, you know, all good. But I know that these bags are overweight, and it's $100 per overweight piece, but they're barely overweight. Like, we have a weight at home, and I'm like, it kept fluctuating between like 49 and 51. And I'm like, I know that they're over 50, and I'm in line and I'm just like sweating. I'm nervous, 'cause I'm like, I'm not paying fucking $100 extra for these overweight bags. But my carry-on, I had to sit on it and like body slam it to get it closed. My backpack is completely full. Like, if they're overweight, I'm fucked. I do have to pay, you know, like, that's the situation. And the guy that's taking everyone's bags is so grumpy, and he's yelling at everyone. And I'm like, oh, I see this man. And he is not the man that is going to say, don't worry about it, sweetie. I can just tell, right? Like, it's Christmas. The airport workers are just overstimulated. They're tired. I get it. You know, I'm not taking it personally, but I'm seeing this guy and I'm like, today's not the day that he's feeling generous. So I'm just sitting in line. And I'm like, okay, I'm a witch. I got this. So I start like building out this like golden bubble in my mind of me, and that like it's just radiating out, and everyone it touches just feels a sense of calm, and they feel so happy even though there's all this chaos around us. I'm just feeling this bubble, and I'm like, please just send all of the love and all of the good energy in my entire being. Send it all out and reach out to this man. And I'm like, when I walk up there, he is going to change. His disposition it's going to wash over him, and he's going to be so sweet. And that is exactly what fucking happened. I walked up there, bag one goes up 52 pounds. He's like, pauses for a second. He's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I'm like, oh, okay. I put the next bag up. It's 53 pounds. And I'm like, is he going to let you slide? And he looks at me. He's like, seriously, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. I'm just like, this man has been yelling at every customer that went up there before me. Like just frustrated that everyone's just like, doesn't have their ducks in a row, you know?
Yeah.
He lets me go. And I just thought, That's what it felt like as I walked away triumphantly from that podium. I was like, bow down to me, the witchiest witch of them all. That was magic, because I was watching this man and I was like, please, please God, if you're out there, I do not want to spend $100 or $200 on these fucking pieces of luggage. So that was amazing, and it worked.
I love that. That almost never happens, so I'm thrilled.
Right. Especially like when it's extra crazy, right? So don't underestimate the power of your energy and intention. But let's see. In terms of how I'm doing, I've been having a morning cry and a night cry. And just moving through the motions of being sad about my breakup, but like overall I'm okay. It right now it just feels like, oh, I'm home for Christmas break, you know? And then like I think in the morning and night when I'm just sort of first waking up or going down to sleep and winding down, it sort of sets in the reality and I get sad. But I'm processing, I'm doing good. I've been going in the sauna is right over here in the office. I've been going in the sauna and meditating in there, and it feels so good, especially because I'm just cold all day long, even though the heat's on. I don't know. I'm just cold. So my only solace is this fucking sauna. Going in there and sweating. So that's been really nice. And then the other thing I was laughing about was just that I'm so used to living in like an urban area, you know, where like when you Amazon Prime something, it comes literally the next day. I thought that's just what it was. I thought that's what Amazon Prime was everywhere, is that it means it comes the next day. It does not mean that when you, you live somewhere rural. It means it'll come in a week and a half. So I'm like so spoiled. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? A week and a half.
I'm spoiled too then.
And I'm like, now is when I need Amazon Prime more than ever, because it's too cold to leave the house for the things I need. Like, I don't want to go to the store. I want you to drop it off in my front porch the next day. So we're just getting used to being a rural girl again, but that's okay. You know, we're roughing it. We're roughing it out here.
Oh my gosh. Fine. Can I tell you a funny airport story?
Yes.
Okay. So I grew up traveling a lot with my dad and my uncle because they did the Beatles tribute band like for a living full time. They made an amazing living doing that. And a lot of the time we would get to go with, because these were like the heydays of the cruise industry, where it's like the entertainer could bring four guests and the flights were covered. And I mean, it was incredible. It was incredible. But we would travel with him and his my uncle and the band, and funny things always happened. And so they always wanted to, my dad and my uncle had guitars, and they always wanted to board early and get that guitar up above. Because if you check the guitar, it will snap in half. Like it's just not the thing to do. And the guitar fits, and they always make a stink that it doesn't fit, but I have traveled with a guitar. Anyways, long story short. So we are waiting, my dad, my uncle, the gaggle of us, and they're trying to board people. And my dad goes up probably three separate times and is like, hey, we have instruments. Like, can we please board? And the person's like, no, you can't. Like, no, like that's, you have to board with your group. He's like, if they check it, it's going to break. This is my livelihood. Like, we're always, you know, we really appreciate it, whatever. My uncle, who looked at the time very much like John Lennon, this agent didn't realize that he was in our group. And he goes up and he's like, can I please board with my guitar? And the guy goes, go right ahead. And my dad standing nearby goes, that's my brother. We are traveling together. And the person was like, sorry. And then he didn't let my dad on. And so when they were boarding, they, you know, it's like now business class, VIP, elite. And my dad was joking, and John Lennon impersonators. So every time I hear like, we are now boarding, da 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 da, I always think, and John Lennon impersonators. But my dad was like, that's my brother. Let us on. But I'll never forget that. That was just That's such a funny. Like, he asked so many times, and then my uncle's like, hey, like, I gotta get this guitar up. They're like, yeah, of course, no problem.
Like, you know that's not John Lennon, right?
And my dad, when he goes through the airport, he wears a top hat and like a full-on outfit, and people think he is, oh my god, what's the guy's name? Starts Slash. People think he's Slash. And they ask to take pictures with him, and he says yes. Yeah. So we go through the airport and he stops to take photos with all these people. And he just doesn't tell them, like, no, that's not me. I'm part of a divinely delusional family, let me tell you.
I love that. I've been stopped that someone asked me to take a picture with me before, and they didn't say who they thought I was, but I'm like, they definitely think I'm somebody, because why would they have to take a picture and I just take it? And
well, that happened to us last Halloween. Remember this little girl, like, with her dad was like, photo please, and we're like, with us? Okay.
when I worked at American Eagle in Santa Barbara, we'd get all these we had a calendar that would tell us the days that cruise ships were letting people, like, were stopping, and everyone would be flooding the State Street area, and so we would know that we would have a little bit of a rush and we could schedule for it. But So, you know, Santa Barbara is like a huge tourist town. It's considered one of the most beautiful cities in the U.S. And it was so cute because whenever they were cruise ships that were like mostly like Asian people on those cruise ships, like four or five times, these like groups of Asian women that were, you know, the height of half of me would ask me for a picture. And it was because I was really tall and like really blonde. And that was it. Because I'd be like, oh, why? And they're like, you love your hair and you're tall. I'd be like, sure, we can take a picture. I was like, wow, I'm a real interesting freak of nature.
You're a tourist attraction, Sadie.
But it's funny because I'm like, you know, I just work at this American Eagle, right? Like, I'm not interesting, but they just thought I was interesting looking. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
So like, somewhere oh my gosh, I'm in a some tall blonde. Someone's photo album of when they visited Santa Barbara as the tall
okay,
blonde.
Okay, that same thing happened to this girl that I know. She had just graduated from college and she was taking some photos like in her graduation outfit with like the backdrop of San Francisco behind her or the college behind her. I don't know what it was, but there was this tour bus and all these people get out and want to take photos with her. And she's like, okay. And so there's just like her and like a group of women from a tour bus, like taking a photo with her in her graduation outfit. And I saw those. I was like, what happened? But I think it was just like, maybe where they lived, they don't do graduations like that. And she was like a beautiful blonde. And I just thought it was so funny.
I love that. That's
I love
so funny.
It so much. Okay, so I told my airport story. Go back to your big life transitions.
Okay, so then this is the last thing that I'll talk about in my catch up. So I rewatched Eat, Pray, Love on the plane. I watched it for the first time this year. I think I mentioned it when I was flying home from like Wisconsin this summer or something. I think I talked about it on the podcast because I was like, oh my God, like, you know, she goes to Bali. I got so excited about Bali because we're going to Bali. And so I rewatched it on the plane because, you know, going through a breakup, big plan is to travel. This is a very appropriate movie for me to be watching right now. And I'm so glad I did because I was feeling so depressed and sad. Mm-hmm. And it really just sort of solidified and made me feel good and confident about my choice. But there was some things that I'm just like, I think I probably talked about them some of these last time that I watched it. I'm just going to be the obnoxious eat, pray, love girl. That's going to be part of my personality for a while, I feel like. So
okay,
let's dive in. Okay. So the first thing I love is it's in the beginning of the movie, but she's talking about, or she's on her way to Italy, I think. And she's talking about this old story of this guy that would go pray in front of this statue of an angel every day. And he would say, please let me win the lottery. And he goes there every day saying, please, please let me live the lottery. And then one day, finally, the angel springs to life and she's like, please, please buy a lottery ticket. And I think this is so interesting because it's like we can beg and beg and beg for the change we want in our life. But the universe is like, yeah, I'll give that to you. But you have to like, you have to help me out here. You have to meet me halfway. Like if you want to win the lottery, you have to buy a lottery ticket. If you want to travel the world, you got to buy the plane ticket. If you want to, you know, leave the relationship, then you've got to take the steps to do those things. Right. So I loved that. The other thing when she's in Italy, it's the scene when they're like in the barber shop and they're talking about like how Americans, we've always got to be like doing something. Or when we're not doing something, then we're sort of like zoning out and to like a TV or something. And they talk about this phrase called dolce far niente, which means the pleasure of doing nothing or the joy of doing nothing. And I was like, ah, that's what my life is about now. The joy of doing nothing. I love that so much. Dolce far niente. And then, okay, so this is the part that really like struck out to me, is they're doing a flashback to like her relationship with the James Franco character and them sort of like starting to break up or whatever. She's writing an email to him from India. And I wanted to, I wrote these notes on the plane, but then after last week's episode came out and so many of you reached out to me, which thank you. It was so lovely to receive literally, I don't know, probably 100 DMs and messages and comments and emails and everything. But I was really struck by how many of you relate, either are in a similar situation where you recently left or shared with me that, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to leave, but I just don't have the courage to do it yet. So I wanted to share these things because they really struck me and it really made me go, whoa, like that's what it felt like. The James Franco character, he says, they're like sitting together and he says, something like, we can be miserable together, but at least we'll be happy we're not apart. And I think that's sort of like, I shared that with Craig and he was like, whoa, like, cause we, it's not that it was all bad, but it wasn't, you know, all good. And that concept of like, let's be miserable together, so at least we have the happiness of not being apart. Like, it's hard to part ways with someone that you really love, even if together you're not making magic. It's not what it needs to be. It's not what it's meant to be. And she says, like, we settle for living in misery because we're afraid of change. And like, change is so scary. And I can't even think about it too much right now because I get freaked out and I get really sad. And I'm like, oh my God, like, oh, my life there was so good. Like, I loved my home and my routines. And there was so much love there still between us, even though there was a lot that was broken. But just that concept of like, we settle for misery because we're afraid of the change. But I keep reminding myself of like, I can look back to being in my old life and look around and see all of the good, but I'm not seeing that beyond that when I release that, when I detach from that, that there's even better beyond that. And I don't know what that is yet, but I can settle for pretty good, or I can leave the pretty good and I can go after what I know is going to be above and beyond what I ever dreamed of, imagined. And so it's okay if to me, it was hard to leave because it's not blaringly obvious, right? It was this feeling that Craig and I both felt, this intuitive feeling that our time was done, that it was time to move on. But there wasn't a blaringly obvious thing that happened or moment or whatever it was that meant like, oh, like I have to leave, right? It was a intentional choice. And that's hard, but don't settle for anything less than what you actually want, even though it's really scary and feels really like crazy to leave something that's like pretty good, right? And I love that she also said this, or I think Katut says this, that her medicine man in Bali, he says, like, it's not bad to be heartbroken. To be heartbroken means you tried for something. And so being heartbroken is really powerful. And to be heartbroken is something to be proud of because it means you really opened yourself up. You really gave yourself to something. And we can be heartbroken over a person, or we can be, you know, I'm heartbroken over a whole list of things. Craig being the biggest, but I'm heartbroken over a whole lot of things that were that version of my life. But I love that. Like, it means you tried for something, that you put effort towards something, that you were intentional for towards something, and it's okay. Like, now it's time to put your heart into something else. And then she's touring these ruins and she's writing a letter and she just says like, how it's amazing to be in such a quiet part of Rome and this building, these ruins that was once grand and now Rome has like built up all around it. And if not for this going into ruins, and the rest of this wouldn't have been built and whatever. But she says, ruin is a gift and ruin is a road for transformation. So sometimes we have to like completely break down, let go, let the old version of ourselves fall into ruin. It's no longer a part of us. And just completely, completely do 180. Sometimes we can do things gradually. But for anyone out there who is relating to what I'm going through or being like, wow, I wish I was brave enough to do that or whatever it is, just know that you can do it. it's gonna suck. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna feel like, what the fuck do I think I'm doing? But just want you to reframe it in a way where you empower yourself, you find the possibility in it. Because I think for a while I was thinking about moving, the thought of like, you know, getting my own place, I wasn't ready for that. And then I'm like, well, if I go home, that means like I'm a failure. That means something about me. And I'm like, no, it means I want to be with my family. And then I want to like do something different. I want to do something new. And I realized, I was like, oh, duh, like I need to go travel. Like that's what I always wanted to do. So just finding the empowering way to look at however that process needs to look for you. And thank you to so many of you who reached out to me and opened your hearts and shared your story and what you're going through, and sending you all the love and all of the courage. And that's my wise words from Eat, Pray, Love. And watch it, watch the movie, because it will really help you. I'm like, I'm going to watch this movie once a week until I leave for my trip, because it just made me feel so empowered and so confident and so sure in the path I'm on and the choices I've made. And there's just so much that I related to. And I just love that movie. And that's part of who I am now.
She's eating, she's praying, she's loving.
Gonna go eat, pray, love my way around the world.
I love it. And I'll meet you in Bali.
Yes. Yes. And everyone's invited. Come meet us in Bali. We have the Bali retreat. That's my plan, is to leave maybe in March for travels, and then travel up until Bali and spend like, Bali's at the end of June, spend like through my birthday at the end of August traveling. So that would be about like 6 months of travel, which sounds amazing and dreamy. So yeah, that's my plan for right now. And I'm excited to plan more. But right now I'm just getting cozy in my little Wisconsin getaway.
It's very, well, I think we're all on the edge of our seat to see how it all unfolds.
Yes. I am too, because I don't know either.
I remembered what I did this past week as you were telling. I went on a party bus to a casino.
Ooh.
And I lost every dollar I bet. So if you ever wondered if Spirit hangs out in casinos, it does not. It says, don't mess with us here.
I always try to intuitively choose a thing and it never works.
Same. I was like, this is the,
it
was
I not know one. This is it.
I helped find a lost tortoise.
Oh yeah. Somebody. Cause the last time I saw you, you were like, someone's trying to buy a reading from me. I don't know about this. And then you did end up doing it.
Yeah. So I kept telling them, like, please don't place an order. Like, I can't guarantee I'm going to help you, like, find your lost pet. Like, I don't feel right taking money for this. And I said, look, I'm not going to charge you anything. But, like, here's what I'm seeing and here's where I think he is. And then she was like, I'm still just going to order a reading. I want more details, which was funny because what I said initially was where he was. But then I was like, okay, fine. So she sends me photos of the tortoise. I'm like tapping into the, he was really cute, really cute. And I was like, I'm like, this is what he's showing me. This is where he is. And she's like, I looked. I'm like, I really think you should look again. She's like, I looked. And then a couple days went by and I was like, well, you know, I feel really bad. Like I told her not to place an order. The platform I used for this, I can't like send it back. You know what I mean? I had already said, yeah, like, please don't. Anyways, she sends me a message and she's like, he was exactly where you said he would be. And he came out on his own. And I was like, oh, yay, it was a happy ending. So Juliet Piper, Turtle Detective, is
Turtle a new Detective. Thing I'm You're a pet detective like Ace Ventura.
Pet detective. Yeah.
I could see that for you.
And I was like, gosh, I really should consider. I'm going to talk to my eventually, hopefully, brother-in-law is a police officer. And I want to be like, do you guys need some assistance? I feel like I could help. So, maybe it's a bit of a leap to go from turtles to like missing people. But if I can help,
You
that
should
would help.
make a like a TikTok telling that story. Like Paris Hilton lost her one dog and they like hired psychics to try and figure out what happened, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, did they find it?
I don't think so. She stopped posting about it
I
and I didn't
think
see her post with the dog, so I think.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it was some type of coyote. I feel it. Scooped
Probably.
up, goodbye. I don't
Yeah.
know, but that's my feeling.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty
Okay, so
common in LA.
I took a party bus to a casino. It was Victor's work end of the year thing. So it was me, Victor, and all of his coworkers who all
Fun.
pretty much only spoke Spanish. So that was good practice for me. I always love an
Oh, I love that.
opportunity to practice my
Yeah.
Spanish. We had a little Hanukkah party at my parents' house that was
Yeah.
just delightful. I was gifted a portrait of Sweetie Bird, a painting. A
I saw you post
painting.
that. So cute.
Unreal. They really like captured her like tenseness. And then finally, okay, in the Goddess Hang, I forget if we chatted about this. In the Goddess Hangs community, in our coven, we have had many conversations about Hallmark movies and how it's just so over the top. Like, nobody does that. Like, this is movie set. This is not real life. I lived it. I lived it. A family that I used to babysit for, they moved on to Candy Cane Lane, which is like the
Oh, yeah.
street in Los Angeles where you decorate your house. It's gotten kind of quieter over the years. I think all the original owners like moved away or passed away or whatever it was, or just got tired. She moved into this house with her four kids and her husband and revived the entire street. I show up to her front yard. There is a bounce house for the kids. There is a taco truck serving food to everybody. There are lights strung everywhere. There are tables as if it's like a wedding. There is a stage with live musicians doing caroling. I went up on stage and I sang a whole bunch of Christmas songs. Next year, I'm bringing my guitar. It's going to be my one show of the year on Candy Cane Lane.
Yes, we're all
And
invited.
everyone's invited. You can stand outside the fence or drive by. It was so much fun. But I mean, I half, once I saw their house was decorated to the nines, I half expected them to like, for it to snow. Like it was
Yeah.
that level of I looked around, I said, this is a Hallmark movie. It's happening.
They
It was magical.
did that. There's one in Redondo. I don't know if they do it as big as up in the valley, but we drove you through it last year. Remember, I brought Boo. But this
Yes, to
year
look at the lights.
she loved it. She was out the window.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't take her this year, but this year Craig and I went one day or one night, and then we got home and we saw his family had gone like after us, and they were posting, and someone had like it was like out of bubbles, but someone was shooting this like foam in the air, and then it would come down, and it looked like it was snowing. They were doing that in the Candy Cane Lane by us. It was so cute, and all the kids were just like, ah, like they were showing videos of it. It was so cute. I love it.
Yeah, I've been having some like very Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday magic moments. Some years I feel kind of disconnected and I'm
Yeah.
feeling this pressure like I should be feeling more or I should be more excited. And like that's a hard thing to like cope with. But I'm actually like
Yeah.
very happy and excited this year. And I was thinking how sweet it is that you get to be with your family on a white Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been hot. Well, I guess it's because I'm distracted with a different kind of pain. But usually over Christmas time, my grief about my mom comes through really strong. Because like she was diagnosed like the day after Thanksgiving, and then like she was like really sick over Christmas time. Her last Christmas with us, she was sick, and then she got better and seemed like totally fine for the rest of the time we had with her. But like Christmas time, regardless, if you lost someone, just like the holidays are hard. It's like blaringly obvious that they're missing from the family gathering and all of that. And I suppose it's because I'm going through something so big that I have something else making me sad. But I did notice that I feel very at peace this year. Like I'm not I miss her, but I'm not feeling, I've been really working on my grief because I felt like I've been having these feelings of like everything, anything else I'm going through always spirals into my grief and makes it like 10 times harder. And we've gone through some difficult things this year. And I'm just like, enough. Like, I can't, like, this isn't how the rest of my life is going to be. When something bad or hard happens in my life, I'm like, it doesn't have to go into my grief and make it 10 times worse. Like, I can't do that anymore. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it has to be. I'm going to heal my grief. I'm going to change my relationship with it. So I've been really working on that, and it's I can feel the difference this Christmas time. And I'm trying to pin down how I'm doing that exactly so I can share more of that, because I know there's also plenty of you listening that also are grieving the loss of a parent or someone really close to you. And I can't exactly pin down for you right now what I've done other than really face it and sort of just like be very like, I don't know, like bossy with my grief and just be like, no, like you have a place and it's not right now while I'm upset about this other thing. Like this is not your time and place. We're gonna grieve mom a different time. Like we're not gonna, it was almost like spiraling into like a victim mentality of like, how dare this thing upset me when I have to go through this too? I don't know how to explain it, but I was just like, enough of that. It's been a long time, and not to say that like grief has to go away or whatever, but I've just decided that like I don't have to feel that deep pain as often as I was. And I don't know. It comes in waves and all of that, but I don't know. I feel like I'm really making positive steps with that. And it's literally been like placing boundaries with it, like being like, no, not right now. Sounds weird, but I don't know. It's felt different this Christmas because usually it's really, really hard for me this time of year. So
That's
grieving something
huge.
else, but you know,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's good. Working on that, growing.
You're doing really good. You're doing a really good job. Oh my gosh. These kill
Okay, I have
me.
one more effect for us. I have one more effect for us as we transition into our topic of this week. Are you
All
ready?
right, I'm ready.
New
Gosh.
Okay, so let's talk about some of our hot tips for the new year. Like, how do you typically feel approaching the new year? And like, or like, how did it used to feel before you sort of like took control of your life? And like, how does it feel different now? That's, I feel like I want to hear about that.
Okay, so that's a great question. So I used to hate New Year's Eve. I used to hate it. And it's definitely because my mom hates it. Like, there's just, she doesn't want to go out. Like, it freaks, like, there's something about it that just makes her really sad. And so I always sort of took that on. And there was just something about seeing that, because I would always watch the ball drop every year. And I have spent most of my New Year's at home, I believe, like maybe a few times. Since I met Victor, they're a big like party family, so we'll be with them this New Year's Eve. But before I met him, I was at home most of the time, and there was something really heartbreaking to me about like, this year is done. Anything I could have done, like the sadness of this year will never happen again. I'll never be this age again. Like, I grieved. It was sad. It was like intense for me. And but I also growing up felt that way every single birthday. Like, I was not excited to turn 7. I was not excited to turn 8. It freaked me out that I was like different now. So it used to be very hard for me because I would focus on what I did not do in that previous year, and that I imagined it like this book being sealed shut and you could never touch it again. Like, it was this very dramatic image. And now what I've come to terms with is that we've sort of created this idea of a year and that a particular day has to mean something. Like, time is just sort of going in spirals and the seasons are just going through their motions, and like, we created a calendar. So
yeah,
now on New Year's, I allow there to be, I don't picture this book being sealed shut and like put in a locked vault. I just think my journey gets to continue, and I just feel a lot lighter about it. Like, it is still definitely a fun time to envision like cutting cords, which we're going to do with the Alchemy Collective, which we'll talk about the Alchemy Collective like in a minute. But it's a great time to cut cords. I wrote down some things that I like to do, but the biggest thing that I so recommend, if you're like really sensitive about like a time when everything's new again, it starts all over, try to release the pressure and the intensity around that, because that like was a hang up for me for such a long time. It was, I would like cry. I was like, it's over. It'll never happen again. Like, it would just destroy me. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't, I think I felt that too, of like, I always felt like disappointed in myself. Because I had like such a big desire for my life to be different for so long, but I just felt like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. Or like, oh, I chose this path. This is it. Like, I didn't feel, I couldn't see how I was giving my power away. You know, like, I was waiting for something to change. And then it was just like, oh, well, another year went by and like nothing changed. And yeah, I felt kind of like despair. But then also, I would be like, and I want to talk about this because I'm sure so many people can relate. Then I would feel this like burst of energy in January of like, okay, we got it. We got to figure this out. We got to have things change. But then I never, like, for so long, I just didn't stay consistent with it. I didn't stay accountable to it. I would like, you know, the classic, like, I'd go to the gym for 3 weeks and then never go again. I would, you know, be like, ooh, I'll figure out what I want to do with my life. I never bothered to like follow through on that. All these things. And I never even like was a big resolution girl. And we can have like complicated relationships with the whole New Year's resolution thing. But for me, it's like, we don't have to call it a New Year's resolution. And like, any day, any moment, you can be your new beginning, can be your new resolution, your new intention, whatever. But like, there is such an undeniable power about being in the, like, the collective new beginning of being like, oh, everyone's feeling this fresh start. Like, there is something like juicy about that. But you can today, I mean, you can today decide it's the new year for you. Like, we just had winter solstice. That's sort of like the new year, the new beginning for some of us. So like, taking some of the pressure off, but I do think it's really important to sit down and review your past year and sit down and look forward to what you want. Because if you don't pay attention and you don't declare it and you don't get intentional about it, then before you know it, another year goes by and nothing changes. And I never, ever wanted to look backwards and see how I had to hold myself accountable for nothing changing, right? It was like, It was every, you know, situation and everyone's fault except my own that like nothing changed in my life. The opportunity never came around. I never, you know, whatever. So I definitely just would use the new year as like a chance to party and hope for something better for the next year, but I never like took action on it. And then I would find myself disappointed when the next, like I'd get so much anxiety, like, oh no, another year and I didn't change anything. Versus now, I feel excited about it. I love it. I love talking about it. I love thinking about it. You know, this year I look back on my resolutions and I didn't follow through on all of them. Not all of them came, but I did do a lot. I did stick to some. Some of those things I had as resolutions or intentions sort of changed course. And on that new course, I accomplished a lot. So it's like, even though not every resolution came into fruition, I can look back on my year and go, oh shit, I did a lot. Like I grew a lot. I did a lot. I worked really hard towards what I want. I didn't wait around, you know, like I did a lot. And that's what I think is important to be able to look back and give yourself credit, even if those resolutions didn't exactly happen. You can still look back and go, oh, I really took my power and I did do something and I feel good about that.
My little hack is I start stuff in like mid-December. Like I already get the ball rolling early so that I don't feel this pressure. Like by January 1st, I'm already doing it. So last year, I think I joined the gym like the 20 something of December and I started going to classes then. So that way in January, I was like, oh, this is my gym. I mean, when I say I've been going to the gym for a year now, I mean, I take one or two classes a week, but it's still more than I did before. And it was still scary. And I was like, oh, I'm not a gym person. And like, you know, you just have to, it's, there's so many things that we just decide about who we are that are like, I think the biggest blocks that we run into. The biggest blocks that we run into. You know, I was like, not about TikTok at all. In the beginning of the year, like, oh, I'm not somebody who could post on TikTok. It's like, or have I just not tried, right? And now, like, we have specific resolutions, like for our business together, about like we're gonna post every day and we're gonna, you know, do, like do be way more visible and but what I think sometimes we set resolutions, right? And there's like a deeper resolution beneath it that we're not aware of. And for me this year, I don't quite remember what my resolutions were specifically, but I am at, but what I know is at this point in the year, I feel so much stronger, so much more sure of myself. I feel like so much more of a leader than I felt in January. And I imagine whatever goals I had, financial, like whatever I dreamt of in January, it all probably trickled down to that feeling and it just manifested in a different way. So that's something I would invite people to do is like see what all your goals are for the next year and like what's the feeling underneath it. And then it's like manifesting. Like, how do you tap into that feeling? Like, maybe you're not going to hit $1 million this year, right? And that's okay. Maybe that's next year's win. But, like, are there things about that? Like, being more confident, like, feeling more comfortable? Like, what is it about that that's appealing to you? And, like, how do you start pursuing that immediately? That's like a little, and start in December. Just start this. And if you're listening to this in May, start it today. Like, you know, make your own new year.
Yeah, I think you touched on a really important point, like about the identity and the feeling. Like, whatever, I say, like, take a look at every area of your life and see, like, you know, how do I feel about this area of life? What do I wish was different here? And when you're creating those intentions, when you're writing them down, one, put them in present tense, like you already do it, or past tense. And along with the action, like you know, the most popular thing that everyone does is like, I want to go to, we'll say the gym more, but be more active, you know. Well, so we'll use this as an example. And this is what we talked about a lot last year and was both on our list, and we both followed through with it the whole year. I'm so sad I don't get to go to my classes. I literally went five times a week. I loved it. But I have been working out at home, which I'm proud of because I do not like working out at home. But I'm like, and this is a good example, I not only am taking the physical action to work out at home, but I look myself in the mirror during my mirror affirmations and I say my typical stuff. Oh, I love you, Sadie. You're doing a really good job. I'm so proud of you. And I also added, I love working out at home. Because we have to become the type of person, right? We have to identify. So if it's like, I just don't see myself as a gym person. I don't see myself as the kind of person that works out at home. I don't see myself as the kind of person that, you know, eats healthy, you know, most of the time, like 60% of the time or whatever. Like, start telling yourself that you're that kind of person. Make it like, along with the physical action taking of like, whatever you need to do to make $1 million, whatever you need to do to, you know, become healthier, like go to the gym or whatever, like have that affirmation on deck, have it written on post-it notes around the house, have reminders pop up on your phone, like whatever works for you, write it down every day in your journal, but like add that piece of it where you are affirming to yourself that you are the kind of person that does X, Y, Z when you're creating those resolutions. And you should have something for each resolution that you're taking physical action for. There should be an affirmation or some sort of validation for yourself that goes along with it that says like, I am this. Like, that's what I've been doing. I'm like, I look at me in the mirror and I'm like, I love working out at home. And I don't, but I'm gonna, because I'm gonna tell myself every single day.
Right. It takes repetition and it takes like getting in there on the identity level, because that's the biggest holdup. And that's how we change. If we want to, if we want something, too, that's how we change.
Yeah. I think it's like, I love the concept and I keep seeing things pop up in my algorithm about this, but people saying like, oh, like I'm just trying to be 1% better every day. And I've really been holding on to that because it's attainable. It's like, okay, like what can I do to be 1% better today? And I think you can do this with your New Year's resolutions too. So I wrote down like, for example, if you want to be the kind of person that works out five times a week, a lot of times we'll dive head into that, right? We'll be like, I'm going to do it. And then 3 weeks later, we're like over it. We're done with it. We have a hard time sticking with it. But what if you allowed yourself to do that slowly and build up to it? What if in January, the goal was to work out once a week? And in February, the goal was to work out twice a week. And in March, it was three times a week. And you slowly built that habit for yourself. And you were like, oh, I didn't, you know, I said I was going to go three times a week this month and I only went two times a week this week, whatever, but let it roll off your back. Like, guilt doesn't do anything for you. And in fact, I feel like the more I guilt myself, the less likely I am to continue doing it, because I'm like, if I let go of this habit completely, then after a while, the guilt will also disappear because it's not a part of my life, right? Like, we reason with ourselves. But it's like, allow yourself to like have like the big goal there, but how do you nurture yourself and ease yourself into it? So if it's like to have healthier eating habits, and maybe that means like, I don't know, like eating less fast food. Okay. Well, if you typically do it this many times a week, say I'm only going to do it this many times a week this month, and next month I'm going to cut it back even more, or whatever it is, right? Like, kind of uncover what that means to you, but we don't have to go like 100 miles per hour, deep dive straight into the thing. And in fact, I think we're going to be less successful when we expect ourselves to go from 0 to 100 with some of those things that we want to create as like consistent habits and parts of our routine and just like a normal part of our life. Like, allow yourself to ease into things like that. I think that's been really helpful for me too, of like, like when I was trying to get, I had a good meditation habit. I completely let go of it for like months and months and months, and I could really tell the difference. And I was like, all right, I'm going to set a 4-minute timer. And once that 4 minutes felt really easy, I started setting a 5-minute timer. And then I've talked about this before, but I just made it a little bit longer each day until I was like, 13 minutes. That's what feels really good to me. I feel like that's a good amount of meditating. That's going to be my every day. So, and then some days I'm like, I really don't feel like it today. And I'm not going to guilt myself about setting a 5-minute timer today. At least I'm doing it. So it's like, whatever you can do to make things easy for yourself, to make things doable, to make it be like, it's going to take me more energy to argue myself out of this because I've made it so easy for myself. I feel like too, just like ease into those things.
I love that. And I, you know, some people want to dive headfirst into the pool and some people need to go inch by inch. And whatever works for you is whatever works for you. I think sometimes there's, again, like releasing judgment and shame around like how you get to your goal. Like it's okay if you ease into it rather than like, I'm going to the gym 7 days a week. Like I certainly didn't hold myself to that standard.
Well, and it's like, you know, the point of these things that we want to add to our life is so that we feel good and that we feel better and that, like, that it's good for us. And when it becomes a source of stress and guilt and shame, then we've completely missed the point, right? So it's like, you know, another thing that I really like to, my routine is really ingrained in me now because I've been doing it for a long time. But at first, when I was really trying to solidify it, is just having like the one thing out of the like how many things I do. My morning routine is I wake up and meditate, and then I make my coffee, and then I journal and I read out of a high vibe book, and then I work out. So I have like five things. And did I count coffee? Coffee doesn't count. That coffee is my reward for meditating. It's how I get myself to meditate. But anyways, there's like five things. But when I first decided that I wanted these things to be a part of my morning routine, but I would keep being inconsistent and whatever, I just picked one of them that was the non-negotiable. And it was like, all right, you don't have to do all of it because you don't feel like it today, except for this one thing that you said you promise no matter what you do. And that was meditation. Because if I meditated, then I found that there was a waterfall effect that would make me feel good enough that I was more likely to then be like, okay, fine, I'll journal. And I put them sort of in a lineup of like, this is what I definitely do no matter how I'm feeling. This is my non-negotiable. The other things are optional. And by like releasing that shame around like, if those things don't happen, it's no big deal, but just do this thing. It made it like so much more palatable to me to form those habits. So that's another tip I have for New Year's resolutions, is just like pick the one part that you're trying to add that's like, that is non-negotiable. I am not allowed to argue myself out of that. And these other things are bonus things if I stick to those. And once that non-negotiable comes with really solidified, you don't even think about it, it happens, then pull another non-negotiable in, right? And just like keep working it in, and it does happen eventually. And now I don't think about it. I don't argue with myself because it's just like, oh, I wake up and I do these things and then my day starts. And it's not a like, oh, should I do it today? Or should, you know, it's just like, it's as ingrained in me as making my morning cup of coffee and brushing my teeth. Like those things I don't argue with myself if I'm going to do them. I'm not like, am I going to brush my teeth today? Am I going to, you know, that's the goal, is to just feel like working out or feel like meditating is just like, there's not a question if or when, it just like happens. So that's my tip for that too.
I wanted to add that I know we talk about spring cleaning, but I'm a big advocate of like right before New Year's Eve, winter cleaning, clearing out energy, clearing out things you don't need. On your phone, on your computer, in your house, in your car, in your closet, like just doing a big old clean sweep, doing a smoke cleanse of your house if you can. I have to do it with music now. I have a bird. I can't put any smoke of any kind near her.
Oh, yeah.
No more smoke cleansing here, but we will do sound bowl, music. You know, there's other ways to do it. You can also if you're like, I don't have a sound bowl, that's okay. Visualize. You use your mind. So I think cleansing, clearing is always great. I've done little rituals around New Year's Eve, setting intentions, lighting a candle, all that good stuff. And then it's also a very fun time to do a card spread. You can use the Intuitive Magic Oracle deck. We have limited quantity available. It's high quality and limited quantity. You get a deck. And you get a deck. Look under your seat. So there's that. We also have the Quantum Goddess holographic deck. That's going to give you really clear instructions, inspired actions for making 2023 the best year of your life. We also have one other way that you can make 2023 the best year of your freaking life.
Shall we talk about it? Yeah, actually, this is perfect because I wanted to talk about something that we're going to dive deeper in Alchemy Collective, but I'll give you a teaser on the episode. Okay, so Alchemy Collective. Have you heard of it? So Alchemy Collective is our newest membership that you can join. It's mindset and manifestation focused, and it's the collective. So this is the like all in on our world spot to be. You're automatically a part of the coven, so you can come to the two moon rituals we host live on Zoom every month and be in that space and have access to all the witchy master classes and basic witch 101. So much there for you. You're also a part of Psychic Circle, where you have a intuition development based masterclass every month and a practice session every month and a photo reading practice every month and meditations and tapping, guided tappings, and so much in there. And then the cherry on top of the Alchemy Collective is two meetings with us a month, one of them being masterclass based that's oriented around mindset, manifestation, really action taking, like action oriented. How do we help you create your dream life? And then one of those calls is like mastermind style, where we connect with you. We say, what are you working on? How's it going? How do we support you? Mm-hmm. It's a group coaching space. So it's very exciting. And I mean, what better time to dive into the Alchemy Collective? If you join this week, you can make it to our first call of the Alchemy Collective, and it'll be the final call of 2022. And it's going to be a cord cutting ritual, cut cords with 2022 and set intentions for 2023. It's going to be so powerful. We did this last year with, I don't know, were we in Quantum Goddess or were we in Activate Your Magic? I can't remember. I know I did a line AF. Maybe we did it with that. I don't know. I did it in a group setting. Maybe we did it with the coven. It was so powerful. I literally couldn't sleep after that one. I remember like the energy was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then in January, we're going to do a really cool masterclass, and I'm going to give you a teaser of what it's going to be like. But I've outlined a new way that I'm setting myself up for success for 2023 that I'm really freaking excited about. And I'm really excited to share. Before I dive into this, did I miss anything exciting to say about Alchemy Collective?
The Alchemy Collective, we've done kind of like a quiet launch about it, right?
Yeah.
It's already filling up. We already have, I think, 13 amazing mm-hmm. alchemists in there. If you came to our masterclass, or if you've come to our previous masterclasses, or if you like hanging out with us on the podcast and you want the opportunity to join us up to 6 times a month in live calls, workshops, classes, masterminds, like if you want to do life with us in 2023, make it as magical as possible, sharpen your intuition, make a lot of incredible witchy friends in the coven, and like take your mindset and manifestation to the next level, you must be in the Alchemy Collective. It has everything. It has everything. You get it all. The price is unbelievable. Absolutely mm-hmm. unbelievable. Nobody in the industry prices the way we price now. It's because we want you to be in it. Because it's
we want as many people as possible.
Yeah. The impact that we know that we make in people's lives is the most motivating factor in everything that we do. So come on in. You can watch. If you're like, I had 6 calls, I'm so busy. You'll always have replays available. You'll have 3 separate Discord spaces, and you will have the most magical year of your life. And that's what I have to say about the Alchemy Collective.
Woo!
Come on in.
I'm so excited. I literally have had dreams about Alchemy Collective, and they're like, there's nothing crazy happening. They're like quite mundane dreams of just like being in the Discord space or hosting the calls. But I literally am like so excited about it that I'm like dreaming about it. I'm like, oh, that was a great dream. Cause it's just like, it's that like, you get everything. It's the well-rounded. It's everything that we've used to create this podcast, create this life, everything that I've used to have the fucking courage to throw away that first life that I manifested that was so amazing and start a new one, literally being an alchemist right now, turning shit into gold. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting time. I'm so excited about it. And so here's some things that, again, I'm going to sort of tell you a little bit. I'm going to share a sneak peek because I'm so excited about it. So one thing I want to say is I want to invite you to like dream really big in terms of what you want for this year and make your resolution, like have like these overarching themes and then make your resolutions be like actionable items that are smaller steps that like it's clear how you get there. And prioritize, like take a look at those things you want and the actions you could be taking and prioritize the things that are going to have the most influence, the greatest impact, right? So this is what we're going to do in Alchemy Collective. And I'm not going to get into all of it because that would take too long. But we're going to break down the year month by month. And pick a theme for each month. Now, this isn't set in stone. These are things as you move through the year, things are going to change. Your heart's going to discover new desires. You're going to grow and you're going to see your world differently in the direction you're going differently. But this is a way to hold yourself accountable and be able to look month by month, like, am I moving in the direction that I want to do? So to just write down every month, go the whole month, and pick a theme for each month. Like, what's your focus? What's the, like the overarching theme? Is it healing? Is it abundance, et cetera, right? And again, as years go by, or as the year goes by, these absolutely can change, but it's about going in month by month and saying like, if this is the overarching theme of this year, this is the overarching thing. In January, this should be what I'm starting to take action on. In February, I really want to focus on this thing. By March, I feel like I want to be here with it. This is, so you can understand how it's like, again, if it was like building up a gym habit, you'd be like, in January, I'm going to go this often, add to it. I want this much in my investment accounts, and then this much, and then this month, I want to build my income up by this much. You can see it's like creating the stepping stones for yourself. And like, I don't think, you know, time is not going to be an accurate measure all of the time necessarily. Like if we are manifesting $1 million a year in our business, and logically we might split that up evenly, $1 million divided by 12, right? We say, oh, well, I better, you know, from January, start making this amount. Well, if I'm nowhere near that amount, then that might not feel realistic. That might not feel attainable. Now, we could make $5,000 a month the whole year. And then come November and December, all of a sudden we blow up and we make $500,000 each of those months, right? So time isn't always an accurate measure, but it's really cool to break it down for yourself and say, this is where I'd like to be. This is where I'm stretching myself. This is where I'm pushing myself. So maybe there is a waterfall effect where I'm pushing myself a little bit here. And at first it's to just really be consistent with $10,000 months and then really be consistent with 15 and then 20 and whatever it is, right? Or being consistent with going to the gym once a week and then twice a week and then three times a week. You see how you can sort of waterfall in and build things up and make them be more consistent in your life, stretch yourself even more, commit yourself even more little by little. So maybe it's your bank account growing, it's your consistency of the gym or how you eat or your relationships or whatever it is. But go through the areas of your life, break it down, like love, home, career, finances, et cetera, and put those into those months and break it down and say, where would I like to be starting in January? What would I really like to add to my life here in February, in April, in October? And give yourself a way to hold yourself accountable and have an accurate measure of, am I getting to where I want to go? And I'm really excited about this because it's not about getting to a certain month and being like, oh my God, I'm not making this amount of money, or I don't have, or my goal was to be engaged by this month and I'm actually breaking up, I failed, or whatever it is, right? It's more about being able to see what I thought at the beginning of the year, the actions I've taken, and where I actually am at the end of the year, right? And it's cool to see how things change and how our directions change and our desires change and all of those things. But it's great because we can hold ourselves accountable at any time. We can change our resolutions under those. It's okay if you need to adjust them and be like, ooh, I really overdid it on this thing. I feel like I need another month at this number or this consistency or whatever. But great, at least you're holding yourself to a certain standard. You can edit and change those at any time. But that's what I'm really excited about. And there's more to it that we're going to dive into that's going to energetically make it feel really yummy and add a dash of magic to it. But I'm really excited to do this with the Alchemy Collective, where we're going to go month by month and say, how is this month going to feel? What are we going to do in this month? And together, as long as you're in the Alchemy Collective, we can check in on these things every month and say, like, how are you doing in the mastermind course or class or in the Discord, and say, like, okay, like, what did January look like for everyone? How did you hold yourself accountable to those things you wrote down? Mm-hmm. How are we holding up? And I'm so excited to do this. I'm a Virgo, so I love breaking shit down. I like making the systems and laying it all out. And I already have like most of my year done in my Notion. So I'm excited to do this in January with the Alchemy Collective, with our alchemists.
I know. I am too. I was going to pick your brain. Do you want to share any of the goals you have for the new year?
Okay. So the big thing, my two main focuses are the level of visibility. So I have like how many people I'm hoping will join our membership communities. Mm-hmm. So across, like, because we have three now, you can be in the Alchemy, which means you're in all of them, or you can be in Psychic Circle or Coven. And then that'll automatically, like, so this is what I mean by like pick things that will have the most influence on the other areas of life, right? So if I focus on visibility and that converting into people joining our membership, then that'll automatically mean that my income is increasing. And I don't have to necessarily like focus on that. I can focus on this fun thing of inviting more people into our world and not be like stressing over numbers over here, right? It's like that trickles into that. So I'm really excited to focus on like really showing up and being excited about our offerings, because I genuinely feel so good about everything we have. And then that having the really yummy effect of like boosting our business in financial ways. And then focusing on travel and making that happen, and really like just making a really yummy plan for that, and having like, you know, I like planning, I like having my things. I've already started making a Pinterest board about like, oh, I want to go here and saving this and this and this, so I can see all of the best things and stay at all the best places and all of that. So that's a big focus of like having that set up and feeling comfortable with like my finances and everything all aligned for being out of the country for a little while. And then the other big focus is on my relationship with self and self-love and like how I relate to others, because I'm going to be going back out into the dating world eventually when I'm ready. And it's been a long time. And, this was another interesting thing that was from Eat, Pray, Love, because her thing is that she gets lost. She loses herself in these relationships. This is another thing I wanted to say, actually. I used to be that person. And what's really special about Craig and I's relationship, it's the only relationship that I never lost myself in. I actually became more myself in that relationship, which is really special. And so I'm trying to really hold on to that and be like, oh, first of all, that's so special that Craig brought that out in me, because other boyfriends, I'd be like, oh, you like that? I love that. You know, like that's now a part of my personality too. Sort of like mold into, like, it made me feel like they would like me more, or think I was, yeah, I don't know, more desirable if I liked the things they liked. And with Craig, it was like right off the bat, I was me, and I discovered more of me and became more of me in this relationship. So I really want to focus on my sense of self and my love for myself. And just having such strong, like, boundaries and such strong, like, yeah, that's like my three main areas of life that I want to focus on in the new year is my sense of self, the travel. I'm calling that area of life adventure, because I feel like the past year was a lot of like hermit mode, being at home. I have a couple more months like this, but like hermit mode, being at home. You know, we were building a lot of systems and we were putting a lot of things in place. And now I feel like it's just about time for adventure. So sense of self, adventure, and, you know, growing the business.
I love it.
What's yours?
I wrote down, you know, I made a TikTok on the Goddess Hangs page that got to like maybe almost 90,000 views. But what mm-hmm. was exciting about it was not the view number. It was the number of saves, which was like in the multi-thousands. And then the number of comments of like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. This was so validating. Thank you so much. I want to do more of that. I want to be like, I wrote down a visible, impactful human. Like that's, mm-hmm. I'm like ready to do that. Who feels empowered? I wrote that down. And then I wrote down engaged. I'm ready for that. We're on such like funny opposite journeys. I love it. I'm like, lock me down. And then just feeling even more, I'm telling you, like when I went out to dinner for Vivian's birthday and I was around these like really like gorgeous women like us who knew, like who not only knew they were stunning, but like that was their primary income source. They just walked differently. Like there was something about that. And I was like, I could learn a thing or two. Like let's see where this leads me, you know? So I like just that confidence, that magnetism. I'm excited to like pull that in. We had you and I talked about that last night. Mm-hmm. And just like helping, like touching as many hearts as possible and yeah. being the most me, like expressive who I am, all sides, unapologetic. I mean, anybody watching this podcast knows that like that's been a journey for me. I was like, I don't think I'm a witch, but okay. You know, like that was the vibe for a long time.
Yeah.
So just stepping into more of all of that. And also some travel too, because we're headed to Italy and then we're going to do Bali and then hopefully Thailand after. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to see some things too, because you touched on something interesting. We've both been in hermit mode. And to be fair, I'm a homebody. Like I can very comfortably exist in hermit mode all the time. But I always remind myself, like, we had so much work. We built a foundation. Like, we took 2 years and mm-hmm. built a foundation that feels really steady and secure. And so I'm very proud of us for putting in all that time, because I think what happens sometimes is people, like, start a project or a vision or a business. They try it for 6 weeks. It's too hard and they stop.
Yeah.
And, like, we're at the 2-year mark and I feel like, okay, like – it's time for us to like take off now. Like the floor is in place, like the walls are up. Like it's,
yeah,
it's humbling that it took 2 years. And in those 2 years, incredible things happened. It's not like yeah. nothing happened, but Yeah. So the best time to plant a tree is 40 years ago. The second best time is today, right? Isn't that saying? Like, so anybody who's watching, like, start the thing you want to start. Like, New Year's just a breath away. It's time.
And don't give up. It's time. It's going to take time. Don't give up on it. We would have given up after six weeks. What? How sad would that have been? You know, nothing was happening 6 weeks into this. Nothing was happening.
No.
6 weeks or barely 6 months into it, you know? So you have to, you have to keep going.
I'm 16 years into music and things are still happening. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, if your heart's really in it, you got to continue.
It's funny because I, you know, I told my dad, like, oh, like, you know, after I come home for a little bit, I want to travel for a little while. And he was like, well, what about your business? And I'm like, if you think I spent 2 years building up this fucking thing to let it all go, I was like, sir, absolutely not. This business is the top priority, the most beautiful thing I've ever created, my greatest pride, my greatest joy. Like, absolutely not. Like, the reason I built a business like this is so that from Egypt or Thailand or Portugal, I can record a podcast, I can show up to coaching calls, I can, you know, I can talk to the Coven and the Psychic Circle and the Alchemy Collective in the Discord from anywhere. And like, that sounds like the most thrilling, coolest thing to get to do that from like anywhere. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be in Bali together and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm like, we're just getting started, baby.
We're just getting started. Oh my goodness. Well, to everyone who has, oh, I had a very quick little 20-second song, a little New Year's song.
Oh, a New Year's song. Let's hear it.
With the ukulele. You know I wasn't going to let December end. Okay. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Thank you for another year of supporting Goddess Hangs. Oh. That's it.
Seriously, yes, no, thank you all.
So grateful.
Thank you all for moving through these big life transition, growing pains, this new way of recording. This felt good though. This was fun. We've got all these sound effects now. That's a bonus. So, you know.
It's such a bonus. But you guys, stop. Oh, they love it. They love it. I learned if you ever want to fade it out, you just press that little volume button and drag it to the quiet part.
Oh. Okay.
We're learning. This has been another amazing year of the podcast. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us every week. Let us know in the comments. Maybe you'll like this format more. Maybe you'll like seeing our faces closer up. Sadie's going to get her pink background up soon. Yes. And we're going to get all the technology in line, but we weren't going to skip an episode. There's magic and imperfection. We don't quit because it ain't perfect.
Nope. We show up. We just show up. We figure it out. It's still a great episode. Next week, I'll have my mic. I'll have my pink curtains. It'll be a vibe. I'm going to go in the sauna now, I think, because I'm cold.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have the most magical time roasting like a little chicken in there. And again, thank you everyone so much. We love you. We appreciate you. And we would be over the moon thrilled to see you in the Alchemy Collective all-in membership. Come to 6 calls a month with us. Hang out with us all month long. It'll transform your life. You're going to love it.
Yes, and make sure you're following us on social media. Our handles are all the same on Instagram and TikTok. At Goddess Hangs, I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper.
And thanks for being here. Check out the Alchemy Collective. We've also got the Psychic Circle and Coven. All of the fun information is in the show notes. And we're going to be talking a lot about traveling because your girl's planning at least a 6-month trip right now. So if you want to meet us in Bali, all of the trip details are also in the show notes. Go check it out. We're hanging out in a sacred monkey forest. I had a dream about the monkey forest last night, about a monkey eating out of my hand. And I'm going to tell you something. After the monkey ate out of my hand, I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a check and it said $106,000 on it. I don't know. I feel like when we're in Bali, something big is going to happen.
Okay.
And then I woke up with happy tears in my eyes. Come to Bali, everybody.
Oh, bless your heart.
We're doing more than that, but that's what I'm most excited about. And seeing all of you there.
Oh my gosh.
All right, everyone. Well, that's the show. And we'll see you next week.
Aw, you got it. Thank you. Oh.